And we are back, folks, back in the saddle again for another episode of the Jay and Rob Toy Show. An exclusive live stream coming to you just because we, gosh darn, love you. But it's not just me. It's my good friend. What should we go with this week? Mr. Fantastic to Dr. Doom. I like that analogy. He will pick who he wants to be. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, the incomparable, but often comparable, Mr. Jay Bartlett.
Hello, I'm coming to you from the sun. from the sun. I apologize. I don't understand why my camera is so bright today. I literally have done nothing. In fact, I've turned most of the lights off. So yeah, I'm gonna have to look into that. So hi everybody.
We have a packed chat room so far, Jay. There have been people that have been messaging the last half hour before we started. So big shout out to Mr. Upstate Johnny, Severus Snape, Cactus Jamie. They're all in here. Going to highlight their comments on screen for y'all to read. Nathan is in here as well. Tater, what's up? Country Boy John as well. Ryan B has a large comment for us. Hey guys, been a big fan of yours for a couple of years and recently just found your channels. Just want to say thanks for the great entertainment. Keep up the awesome work from a fellow Ontarian. Very kind of you. Very, very kind of you.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate that, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah. What has been going on, my friend? It's been 2 weeks. We had a bit of an unscheduled hiatus last week due to some family issues. Close family member passed away last week, so it was just a little bit easier for us to take the time off than try to force a show out on top of everything. But that just gives us that much more to catch up on. What have you been up to?
Doing my YouTube channel like crazy, and I'm happy to say, is everyone ready for the big news? The big news is this. Hi, Lisa.
Whoa. Do we want to wait till the end?
Ow, it's not really big. It's not like our big news. It's just kind of
big news.
So I've been chasing my arch nemesis, Jay Bartlett, the other Jay Bartlett, the exorcist. And I'm proud to say that I'm closing in. I'm less than, I think, 30 subs away from overcoming my nemesis, Jay Bartlett, the exorcist. So I'm pretty proud of that. That's my big news.
See, it's not that big. The question is, before we go on hiatus,
it's not that big.
It's pretty big news. You tease big news, you need to let it simmer, Danny says. He is the big news expert. I say, at this point, everybody that's watching and listening needs to go find Jay Bartlett, the exorcist channel, and sub to him just to keep the race tighter a little bit longer. I know you're putting a lot of hours into the YouTube channels, doing a lot of awesome figure reviews and some narrative action figure shorts now.
Yeah. Operation did you watch
Footloose.
It?
Of course I watched Operation Footloose.
You didn't write me. You're like, I'll watch it today. And I didn't hear anything. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, that's right. You didn't hear anything because I thought we would save it for the big return. Sure. We'll talk of about it
today. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
So,
it was, I think I shot that last Friday, which would have been the 18th. And I don't know. It was snowing like crazy here in Ontario. It was very cold, very snowy. It looked really nice. And I was getting up early. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to go be a jackass and play in the snow with my dog. And then I thought, hey, you know what? I'm going to get some of my Snow Joes out because as nice as they are on the shelf for me to admire, I miss the days where I played with them. So I took them outside and I have a real connection with Frostbite. I think he's my favorite Snow Joe. He looks like Kenny Loggins. So I brought him out in the Snowcat. And if you watch the beginning of the video, I'm just like, oh, I'm here. I'm going to take some pictures. And I don't know what happened if the cold got to my brain, but I just started doing my little voices and stuff. And I started writing this story in my head. It wasn't much of a story, but I've had a really positive experience with everyone writing to me, and it's very different than just reviewing and talking very straight line about these toys. It was fun to do all the voices that, you know, Rob and I like to do and act a little bit. So I'm going to do some more of those and we'll see where that goes. But it was a lot of fun just to literally let myself go and act like a kid again. So if you guys haven't seen that, please check out G.I. Joe Operation Footloose on my YouTube channel. Yeah.
And maybe there'll be a chance for some people to do cameo voices. We could just send you the lines via email or Dropbox link or something. You tell us the dialogue you need and you can just slip the audio underneath there.
I would love that. If you're a fan of dumb humor, that's what mine is all about.
I'll do all of Snake Eyes' lines. How about that?
That sounds great. Michael said that. That's I'll be Snake Eyes. Like, okay. Yeah,
there you go. There you go. What else has been going on the last 2 weeks? There's been some big auction news, of course.
Yeah.
Our first auction item ended with a man-a-man topping out over $305. Our Dino Rider, the Ankylosaurus with the evil Rulon Sting, the sealed Dino Riders went for $283.50 Canadian, which is awesome. And now on eBay, we have... Oh, my friend, a minty sound wave. I'm going to search for eBay right now and pull it up on screen. So why don't you share some thoughts quickly just on sound wave while I fumble and find this, Jay.
I'm definitely going to share some thoughts later as well about sound wave. But sound wave is, of course, Megatron's right hand man and probably the most unique voice in all of cartoons. I would say it's... pretty much as 80s as you can get his voice. It's all synthesizer. And we acquired this during Action and Figure Adventure Season 2. I can't say where. You'll have to tune in this year to find out. But it's part of the journey. It's part of the trip. And it's in mint shape. We got a chance to play with it at the store we found it at. Took it out of the box. And, I mean, you see a lot of cool stuff when we shoot this. When we shoot this show. But I'm not even kidding when we said we took this out and the sticker sheet wasn't even used. The instruction book was mint. The toy catalog looked like it hadn't even been unfolded. It's just a beautiful piece. As you can see, the pictures, there's all the components, mint condition. The sound wave is gorgeous. Buzzsaw is perfect. All the chrome is on all the weapons. The box, of course, has, you know, a little wear. It's from 1984. One side is taped sealed. The other side is open. So, of course, it's not sealed. But I got to tell you, man, it's going to be hard for me to pack this guy up and ship it away. Not only do I love Soundwave, but look at that box art. I would love just to have that box in my house. I mean, the figure's great on its own, but that box art is just incredible. What are your thoughts on Soundwave?
Well, you know... without giving too much away, big teaser, you know, when we come across it in the series, we talk about, you know, what Transformers characters are the marquee ones that would be interested for people, you know, to go out there and look for and add to their collection. And it's Prime, Megatron, Starscream, Soundwave, maybe Bumblebee. And of course, you're able to find Starscream and Soundwave. And the first one up for bids is... Soundwave here. Awesome character, super fan favorite, which is awesome. But this figure, what does it for me is just the condition. It's just unparalleled minty. The joints are stiff, but good stiff. They're not going to break. They just haven't been played with. Like most G1 Transformers are, you know, all floppy, wobbly. This is perfect for your shelf. You can put it on your shelf, feel like an 80s hero, a Dolly Master. This is for you. Nathan is challenging everybody to try to outbid him. He is currently the high bidder by his own omission right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, Jay.
Yeah, I mean,
gonna get it.
I mean, Nathan is such a good dude and part of our team now, which is great. So it's exciting to see him go after this. I know that him and Cindy, there's a few pieces, you know, they can say what they want when they want, but I know there's a few pieces that they want. I don't think I was aware that Soundwave is one of them, so that's pretty cool. I know there's a couple others they want. Yeah, I mean, good luck. I love to see the bidding war again. This is all for good cause. This is all for the Children's Health Foundation here in London, Ontario, which is a program that we both believe in, and we've worked with them for years now. So the proceeds go to them. So yeah, I mean, and you're gonna get like a piece of Action Figure Adventure 2 screen used prop, as I like to say. You know, you see it many times in the show. So
yeah, well, it's the three tier effect for me. You get something from the TV show, it's automatically something great. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the auction. So it's an auction worthy piece. but it's from the TV show, so that's cool. But you also get to help kids. So it's that three-tiered effect. How can you pass this up? Just finding the stuff in the condition that we found it in is rare alone, let alone the chance to bid on it and then do more good by acquiring it. So, you know, you owe it to yourself to bid on this, to acquire it, because you're making the world a better place. That's the way it works, folks. That's how we do it.
And yeah, I'm not going to give away who has won what. That's all, you know, if they want to talk about it on social media, they can. But the two winners have reached out to me, and the stuff's going out this week, by the way. And they both said, you know, I'm not a huge fan of this. I'm not a huge fan of that, but I wanted to help. And that's really amazing. One of the winners, again, I have to keep them anonymous unless they want to come forward. But one of the winners said, you know, they almost wanted to just donate the money and then say, put the item back up for sale again.
It happened last time.
I got that message. So that's really kind. And it just, I'm glad that our message is spreading further than it ever has now. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And I will say, one of the cool big news teasers is once our items are done for Action Figure Adventure, the 11 items that Jay was able to secure in his travels, it looks like we'll have more items that we can put up and help out Children's Health with, that people have donated for the cause, that are above kind of like normal kind of run-of-the-mill common pieces. There's some pretty unique pieces that people have donated to try to auction off versus just trading in and getting trade credit and stuff. And they're worthy of some auctions. So down the road, we'll prime and, you know, pump that up when we get to what those are. So all the good. So if you have something you want to donate to keep the weekly auctions going, you know what? Let's see how long we can keep it going. I think that would be pretty fun.
Yeah, I actually do. I have not really an announcement, but I do have to let everybody know. We released the auction list a couple weeks back, and the two big boys, I mean, literally the two biggest items are Eternia from Masters of the Universe and the Jabba Sail Barge. I have to tell everyone right now, those will not be shipped. So I see Cindy and Nathan want to bid on it. I know you guys live far away. I'm just letting everybody know those items are impossible to ship without them being literally destroyed. So those items will be local pickup only. I would love nothing more than all of these items to be picked up. I would like to meet everybody who's going to be a part of Action Figure Adventure. I know that's not possible, but I'm just throwing that out there just to remind everybody.
Well, I think those items are worth traveling, whatever the distance might be. And if you're lucky enough to win them, you don't want to pay the $500, $600, $800 in shipping and risk something breaking versus having a cool road trip to get them.
You've had your hands on Eternia now. You've been shooting it for a couple of weeks. I still haven't got to play with it. Hopefully this week sometime.
No, you're not getting it back. Okay. You haven't got it back because it's just kind of found a way into my collection.
It's just kind of like, isn't it? Yeah, right. I mean, that's how I felt about the flag last year. Or for season one, I'm like, well, you know, hated giving that one up, but I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. It just feels like part of your collection when you hang on to them for a while. I do have one more thing to throw at you before we get to Kobayashi Maru, and then you're going to take the reins on the main topic this week, and you're going to make me play this or that. We have people already in chat talking about the Last Ronin figure, which is the only one that I wanted to throw at you. And we'll get to that, of course, too. Sure. But my friend, 3 weeks ago, you issued a challenge to me.
Yeah.
A revamped bet where you're only allowed to buy one toy per month.
Yeah.
Max.
Yeah.
We said pre-orders didn't count because we could cancel the pre-order. So thus we would never get it. It's only toys that arrive. So if you pre-order something and it comes in the mail to you, that counts as a purchase. And if you get 10 of them, then that's 10 strikes against you, and you owe the other person a $30 figure.
Sure.
So we haven't revisited this since you initially threw the gauntlet down in January.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is to help us avoid that dreaded T-stop, which our good friend Trent Cucciarelli envisioned from Toy Power Podcast, where you just put the brakes on all action figure buying. We're trying to curb it. to what we can afford, what we actually need. Have you broken the bet? Have you bought more than one figure in February?
Oh, I 100% have broke the bet. You win. I owe you a $30 figure. I'm a weak man. What can I say? Oh, yeah. It's
Did over. You forget about the bet?
No. I just to give myself a little bit of credit, you know how I, you know, when Force Awakens came out, I was collecting a bunch of Lego Falcon, stuff like that. So I took that stuff and I traded it, which was great. So
trades are okay. We said trades were fine.
Yeah. So I only bought a couple Joes here or there, not the bug, which is right here, the Cobra bug, not that. But yeah, I did. I've bought a few just common figures, but yeah, I lost the bet. I owe you a $30 figure, buddy. So
I love it. I love it. Well, we'll have to take a look and see what one of our great sponsors has, Heroes Comics in London, Ontario, and then we can.
Yeah, I took the Lego Falcon and Kylo Ren's shuttle, Kylo Ren's TIE fighter, the Lego versions, because I have the 3.75 inch of Ren's fighter and Ren's TIE fighter. So, you know, they were literally, they're in my basement now and they were just sitting on the floor. And I've kicked them a couple times. The Falcon was in my room, but it's like I have three or four Falcons. And Lego, I love, but I can't see myself buying anymore. So it's like, you know, let's just get rid of that part and put it towards something that I can use. So
highly collectible too. It's skyrocketing in value out there too, especially something like Star Wars. You know, they don't get a lot of evergreen Lego products for IP like that. You'll always see the space sets from Lego and the pirate ship stuff and the castle and knights. But
yeah, don't get me wrong, it's great. But I think you're in this boat with me too, where I love building the sets. It's very therapeutic. It's very relaxing. And when it's over, like I love seeing what I've built, of course, but I enjoy building it more than I do having the finished piece.
So, I don't enjoy building it. I don't enjoy Lego. When it comes to following a preset plan, I like not having a goal in mind.
Oh, yeah.
I find it very frustrating to basically be on rails and build something like Lego. I understand why people do it.
Yeah.
I don't want that puzzle in my life. I'm good.
You're good. Well, if they come out with Book of Boba Fett Lego, I'll definitely be getting some of that.
I bet you will. I bet you will. Do you want to play some Kobayashi Maru before we get to the main topic?
Well, the main topic, I mean, for everyone watching, I want you guys, I'm going to take the reins on this one. I'm going to throw this or that out there at Rob. So before we get to that, I just want everyone to play along. So Rob always gives me you can have this or you can have that. You can't have both. You can only ever have one or the other. So I thought it would be fun to flip it over and see what Rob said on some very basic topics, but I want to get his answers. And I want you guys who are watching right now to join in too. I want to hear your answers. But before we do that, Rob needs to torture me a little bit more first. So let's get to that.
Yeah, Kobayashi Maru, our infamous no-win scenario that we've been playing pretty much most of our lives, ingrained in film on the Power Tour episodes, I believe, from 8 years ago. Because it's similar to what we'll be playing later on, I went with a different approach, where you have to erase something from existence, and you get to choose. And when I say erase something, I mean every iteration of it, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, Kobayashi Maru, everybody that's watching can play the home game. Think about what you would do. Yell at the TV screen. Yell at your phone. If you're listening to this as the audio version, yell at your car stereo or your AirPods, whatever you do.
And if you're live, type it in chat because I love to see everyone. And Bill, Bill, you go to hell. You go to hell, Bill. Don't even think about tempting me.
Oh, yeah, there he goes. Hello, boys. Scenario number one, you must erase Marvel Legends, Kenner Superpowers, or Mego Superheroes?
Mego Superheroes.
Really? What's the rationale behind that?
I have three. I have Batman, Robin, and Spider-Man. They're cool, but I'm not a big... they're almost like dolls to me, the cloth clothing and all that. Even like the 12-inch Star Wars dolls, I only have a couple of. I'm not a huge fan of, but I like gems, so I don't know.
But I understand where you're coming from, and that's the collector speaking now. But we're talking about erasing from existence, not racing from this point going forward. We're saying that line never existed and the impact that that line had.
Mm.
Do you still want to erase Mego?
Well, that would be
World's Greatest Heroes.
Well, if that's the way it is, that it would be easy to take out Marvel Legends because someone will always be there to pick up the reins, right? And that was a rare time too, when Mego had both DC and Marvel license. I mean, that doesn't happen. So, yeah, so I'm still going with Mego. Mego's got to go. Kyle's got it right. Mego's got to go.
Everybody's saying Mego, and I'm saying you're all wrong because I think what Mego did was unique. I think, like you said, the shared license is super important. You can't erase Kenner's superpowers because that's like the best iteration of DC heroes that we've ever got. Marvel Legends are good, but there have been lots of good iterations of Marvel heroes. So I think the one that we could live without the easiest would be Marvel Legends. So see you later, Marvel Legends, from my point of view. Ready for scenario number two?
Let's do it.
Scenario number two. Okay, everybody. Oh, Danny chimed in with me, and so did Severus Snape. I got two, and you got like 20. Scenario number two. You can erase forever and everything that's related to it. So in this case, cartoons, comics, and movies. G.I. Joe or Transformers? He's pausing, ladies and gentlemen. He's pausing. He's gonna do the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, weighing it back and forth. Now, if
I'm gonna phone a friend. Audience, give me your point of view on this one. I'm much more of a Transformers cartoon fan than I am a toy fan.
I know, but this is everything.
And G.I., I'm just talking it out.
Okay, okay. And
G.I. Joe, I love all of it. There's a few key characters in Transformers that are just so iconic, it almost trumps any character in pop culture, being Megatron and Optimus Prime. But I
and cannot... awesome characters like Soundwave, which people could own now if they start bidding on a certain eBay auction.
I could not live without G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe is everything. It's my most favorite thing to collect. The cartoon's okay. I could take it or leave it. The comic book is a must. But the toys of G.I. Joe are just incredible. And yeah, as you can see, I'm surrounded by Joe stuff. So Transformers, I'm afraid you got to go. Sorry, Bill.
I love how divided the entire audience is. There is not a clear winner from everybody in the chat. It's back and forth almost every other comment.
Well, Scott at Retro Universe says the Bay movies are bad. Well, to be fair, the G.I. Joe movies are terrible, and so are the Transformers movies. That's what I think, and I know there's this whole new generation that's their Transformers. I get it, but not for me. No, Joe, Danny, you go to heck.
The cartoons, I think, are equally awesome. You know, I probably give the edge to Transformers as a cartoon series, especially the Deke G.I. Joe stuff that came later was not great. I'm not a fan of Beast Wars, but there's a huge following for that. And a lot of people say that's pretty great. But then, you know, I don't know. I like a lot of the early G.I. Joe stuff, too, like the original action figure. Like, you get rid of that. Do we have action figures at all? I don't know. I don't know where that goes. I think
Hasbro with the Real American Hero really took it to another level, right? Without G.I. Joe, that version of G.I. Joe. Bill. Because of Obi-Wan. Because of what you've done.
You are the chosen one.
Oh, hush up. You're going to get your own show soon. So switch off. Yeah, I really can't see modern action figures being what they are, of course, without Star Wars and without G.I. Joe. I just can't.
And that's funny, though, because without those action figures, I think we would have still got robot action figures because there was already robot toys in the 50s. Yeah, so I think basically what I'm saying is I think you could get rid of Transformers and some sort of robot driven IP would rise up and take it. So, you know, it's a question of how much do we want our nostalgia and our attachment to what we know versus allowing something new to come in. We've seen stuff like Voltron. We've seen stuff like Shogun Warriors. There's tons of robot-driven IP out there. Yeah. There's only one G.I. Joe. I mean, you could argue that there'd be a lot of different soldier-based, you know, stories that would come and go, but, you know, even GoBots, you know, would be...
GoBots.
It's funny, look, everybody's chiming in with GoBots. That's hilarious.
Listen, I was talking to our good friend, Abram Wiseman, today, and he swears by GoBots. He's a GoBot guy, and I'm just like...
You know why, though?
Do you even comic store, bro? Like... GoBots? Are you kidding?
But you know why? GoBots have a charm to them because they're not overly complicated. They're futuristic looking cars, which is always fun.
Have you seen the show? Have you seen it?
I don't need to see the show to love the toy. You know what I mean? Do you have to love everything to be a fan of it? Is that where we're going down? Because let's say, my friend, Centurions is not a great show, but those toys are great.
Centurions is a great show. GoBots, the thing they have is not a great show. Is the size of them? The size is great because I like the smaller stuff. So the fact that they have bases and stuff like that is cool. But Leader One and Psykill don't quite get my motor going, if you know what I mean.
Oh, they should have at least done a crossover with Transformers. But who knows? Who knows? You ready for the last scenario?
Yeah.
All right, you have to erase Star Wars from 1995 and up, or just Old Testament, one or the other.
Toys or everything?
Everything.
Oh, it's 95 and up. Easy. That's easy. That's pretty much everything with the original trilogy. So,
if you think about the special edition, we'd never see the Han and Jabba scene in A New Hope.
Oh, dang. That was so exciting. I remember us going to see that. It was so exciting. But if you think about it, if you erased 4, 5, and 6, I mean, I guess you would have 1, 2, and 3, then 7, 8, 9. Ooh.
And all the cartoons and Mandalorian. You have
the special edition, so maybe I'm wrong. If you erased
Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah. I would rather have the original trilogy in its original form than everything else that came after it, including the beloved Mandalorian, which is fantastic.
If we just limited it to toys, which way would you go there?
The toys, the vintage Kenner stuff will always be charming, but my heart is with the 90s Star Wars. I think there was much better of a selection. The likenesses, of course, got a lot better, except for the first installments where we got Han and Luke where they were buffed, but it never bothered me. The Kenner stuff's cool. Of course it is. It's legendary, but I'm with the 95 stuff for toys.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore that stuff. I mean, again, you think about G.I. Joe in the place of those action figures, the history of what Star Wars did for action figures, collect them all, that excitement, like really building IP into figures. That's hard to ignore, but hopefully that would have happened one way or another.
And it's weird because it's, you know, talking Joe again, if you reverse that, again, I'm not talking about the 60s G.I. Joe. I'm talking about Real American Hero,
40th anniversary.
Yeah, so you go 40th anniversary, which are pretty okay, and then classifieds. I think Joe is getting worse, which is weird. It's like I've almost stopped all the new collecting. I had the Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes in my hand, the O-ring ones, a couple weeks back, $100, $100 for both. I'm like, this is stupid. And if you look
up to that point,
there's great toy reviewers out there who have reviewed them, and they look terrible. Snake Eyes doesn't even come with the right backpack, and he comes with a sword. None of it makes sense. Anyway, I'm going on.
That's what reaction's there for, to fill the gap with new characters, not trying to be what you already have.
Yeah, and I got what I wanted. You know, I got a few characters from Reaction, and that was it. I didn't need to buy the whole set, so...
There you go. That'll do it for another round of Kobayashi Maru. Thanks for playing, everybody. It was actually a little bit back and forth, more than I thought, especially that Joe and Transformers one.
So I'm going to take over now.
Oh, here we go.
Rob does a wonderful job hosting, but now not.
Again, I'm going to pit the last Ronin at you at the end of this because I really want to know.
You guys know lots about me. lots because these questions are usually geared towards me. Rob will chime in here or there, but not all the time. I thought this would be a great opportunity to get inside Mr. McMartin's head and see what he thinks.
Who's that?
So we're going to do the same kind of thing that he just put me through, Kobayashi Maru. These are very matter-of-factish. They're very A-side questions, big IPs. So, Rob, don't just give me a yep and that's it. Give me some backing behind it. Because
you want me to play it up?
Well, yeah, we'll be through these real quick if you do that. So some might be easy for you. Some might not be easy for you. And everybody at home, I want you to play along and let me know if you agree with Rob, if you agree with him, or if you don't agree with him. We'll start off easy, Rob. You can only have – oh, what's the stupid first one? Oh, this was something different, but I'll throw it out there anyway. Okay. If the action figure He-Man, the original He-Man, if his sword ceased to exist – and you could only pick one of his other two accessories, one being an axe or one being the shield, what would you pick?
Well, He-Man's never really been Captain America to me. So him having a shield would be pretty dumb.
He's never been Conan either. In fact, he's almost the opposite.
Right. But I can't see someone like He-Man with just a shield. It feels incomplete.
Yeah.
So by default, he would have to have the axe. I mean, you could, again, you could do the Captain America thing, but that's not...
Look at this, four axe. Upstate Johnny says shield, so it's... Yeah, okay, so everyone axe. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. You know what? I'm with Upstate Johnny. I would say shield. I'm not a Captain America guy, but I think the axe is just kind of boring. And the axe really conveys a barbarian sensory. I'm going to hack you in half with this axe, where a power sword is more mystical and it can be a million different things, but the axe is pretty much I'm going to cut you in two with this. And He-Man doesn't do that, at least the He-Man that we know in the Filmation cartoon. So I would go with shield.
But again, the figure came out before the cartoon, so you can't do that.
I know, but the He-Man, as we know, the figure is tied to that cartoon. That's just the way it is. So
no. Wrong again, Jay.
Okay, so
like Danny says,
this is a big one. We're gonna start off. That was just a warm up. This is a real big one, and everyone out there, throw it out in chat. I want to know what you think. Rob may take a few seconds to answer. He might answer right away. You can only have one. This includes comics, films, and action figures of these IPs. You can only have one.
Every form of media.
Yep. You're not I'm not going to go down the road you did where it erases the other one, but you can only ever consume one of these two brands. You can only have Marvel or you can only have DC. Now, before Rob answers, everyone else in chat, throw it up. I want to see Marvel versus DC here. You can only have one: movies, comics, TV shows, toys. You can only have one. You have to pick Marvel or DC. All right, Rob. Let's hear. I want to hear what's going on in your mind right now. Think of
We basically did a whole episode of
Marvel, yeah, DC.
People are blowing up our chat with Marvel. Jeez. DC. Marvel, DC. I think we have the same people saying both just to confuse us here.
No, don't mess with us.
X-Men is my jam. Got to go with them. Sorry, Superman and Batman. Batman and Joker are key for me.
See, it usually comes, it's usually Spider-Man versus Batman, I would say, but
yeah. Exactly where I was going to go. Which heroes do I like the most versus which?
I think I know what you're going to say, but... I won't change my answer, but let's hear your rationale and talk us through what you're thinking.
It comes down to the quantity of heroes that you consume the most from each side. So on the DC side, you know, are you loving basically the Justice League? Do you love Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Hawkman, Dr. Fate, Martian Manhunter, Aquaman? Are those enough to get you by?
See, I don't agree with that. I think I personally think.
You want to hear what I thought? Did you want me to talk both sides out, Jay?
But we're just trying to draw this out a little bit more than. I'm just going to interject and say that I think one or two heroes or villains could carry the whole weight. And I think you know who I'm talking about, but go ahead.
And then on the Marvel side, which heroes do I really, really respond to? Are there as many A-side heroes that I respond to as the A-side DC guys? Probably got to give the A-side edge to DC. You know, I think I will always like their big heavy hitters more than the Marvel ones. But when we talk secondary characters, that's where Marvel wins this hands down in spades. All their secondary characters that don't necessarily, you know, have their own run of comic books or their own storylines, but are cameo characters or team up characters, those are the memorable ones that enhance the A-list characters that maybe aren't that great on their own. So do you want the breadth? Again, it's a little bit quality versus quantity, and you could maybe call that a toss-up still if you looked at them. So for me, then, it's got to come down to the villains. Which villains are the most interesting on each side? Joker, Penguin, Lex Luthor, Darkseid, or, you know, Thanos, Loki, Sinister Six.
Loki,
you know. Really? Yeah, it's Thor's hero, or Thor's anti-hero, whatever you want to call him. Dormammu, Kingpin. Which villains resonate the most and are the most interesting? It's got to come down to villains. And I think Marvel's got the edge. I think Marvel's got the edge when I think about which villains are more compelling, more tragic. As much as I love Batman and as much as I love the Joker, and if everything else from DC disappeared and we only had Batman and Batman's universe and basically Gotham versus Marvel, it would be pretty tight right there. Just Batman versus Marvel would be pretty tight. But because you have Spider-Man, because you have all the cosmic stuff like Silver Surfer and Adam Warlock, you're just getting a little bit more. And I think there's enough tragedy that we see in Batman present in other Marvel characters to have the same appeal. And certainly some characters as interesting as the Joker.
That's where I was heading with it, where I would say Batman carries DC for me. Just to interject a bit before we, I think I know where you're going, but before you give your final answer, just a little bit of my point of view. I think most DC characters are incredibly boring. That's just me. I think Superman is one of the worst characters ever wrote. Wonder Woman doesn't do it for me, but you have Batman and Joker who almost outshine everybody in Marvel. So that is a tough one. I myself would go Marvel, but your final answer, my friend.
Well, now people are bringing up some things here that I hadn't considered. I was basically thinking canon characters and everything revolve around there. We're, of course, talking action figures, cartoons, and movies.
Everything, yeah.
Everything. And on that front, I have to go with DC. Because I think the stuff that DC puts out movie-wise is far more interesting to me than the Marvel stuff. I love the DC animated stuff, especially like Batman the Animated Series. All the direct DC direct movies that are an hour and a half long, there's like, 50 of them now? They're all amazing. I'm a huge fan of Smallville. Ran for 9 seasons. There's just a lot of quality. So Peacemaker is a huge show right now. I haven't seen a single episode, but I can't remember the last time a DC show got that much buzz. I like some of the stuff Marvel's doing. The whole interconnected thing feels like, well, you got to watch it because it's part of the multiverse.
It's too safe. It's too. They need to
paint my numbers.
Yeah, they need to go back to the Netflix stuff, which was very gritty and very dark. And I liked watching it because I'm a big boy, and you know I don't want to watch Hawkeye. Hawkeye to me was a little baby show, and then they tried to throw Kingpin in, and it's supposed to make us all care, right? And it just didn't do that for me. You have Kingpin and Daredevil. The Daredevil shows decapitating people with a car door. You see everything. And then you have this. It's not the same. So when they bring Daredevil back and Punisher, hopefully, and they get a little bit more adult, then I'll be back. But until then, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with the action figures, I could go either way. I really could, between Superpowers or Legends. Like, they're both great lines. Again, I call it a wash. But if I have to think about all the media that really informed my knowledge of these stories and these characters, it's certainly the films that have been released in the animated cartoon shows, which most of which are based on comic runs. So that's where I'm at. So I got to go DC. Just when everybody thought I was leaning towards Marvel, trademark change of heart.
So that's a big one. So that would be Marvel for me, DC for Rob, and the chat seems pretty much split, which is great. I think that's awesome. We'll do a little bit more of a lighthearted one. This one is tailored right to Rob, but guys, please feel free in the chat to give your answer if you care at all about Scott Bakula or William Shatner. One or the other.
In terms of what?
Everything.
Everything. So Scott Bakula, it's basically Quantum Leap and Enterprise and Men of a Certain Age.
But I know that,
which I love.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it, because I know that you love that Enterprise show.
Well, I love Men of a Certain Age more than Enterprise. Enterprise was okay. I just didn't really buy into it that much. It got better later on.
So and the workings of the legendary Scott Bakula or the independent small actor William Shatner.
I mean, here's the thing, Jay. I have a Scott Bakula autograph. We were talking about your celebrity crushes, you know, and the autographs that you have.
More of a joke.
I have a Scott Bakula autograph that says, wrote on, let's kickstart a project, Rob. That's what he wrote on it, which is hilarious. I don't have a William Shatner autograph.
Well, he wouldn't even look you in the eye, my friends, so you ain't missing much. Shatner is not...
Shatner's so legendary. He's become a parody of himself. You know, I think, okay, what happens if we lose Shatner? Of course, Captain Kirk is different. Would another character be able to, like another actor be able to basically replace that and we'd have the same stories? Or would the show not, you know, happen in the first place? I don't know. I probably have to pick Shatner. Quantum Leap is good, but it's not amazing. I loved it growing up. Doesn't hold up as much as I want. Excited for the reboot. I mean, there's just too much. There's too much great quoting material from Shatner alone, right? Shatner's just so fun to quote. And he's also an artist, right? He's got his own CDs and stuff, which are just phenomenal.
Okay, so you're saying Shatner. Okay, fair enough. I think most people. There's a few Scott Bakula guys out there. I'm surprised that was more of a kind of a joke more than anything. Okay, everyone in chat, ready for round three? These aren't so hard. Rob seems to be doing okay. None of these are breaking his brain.
I forgot about Major League 3, Back to the Minors with Scott Bakula. How did I forget that? That almost tilts it the other way. Sorry.
Marty or Doc?
Oh, goodbye, Marty.
Wrong.
No, goodbye, Marty. I don't need you and your antics screwing up the time continuum. Doc had it right. He had it figured out. He felt guilty and tried to help Marty.
He didn't screw up anything. Doc Brown is a criminal selling pinball parts to terrorists, so Marty had to go back and save him from death. So without Marty...
Well, that was Marty's dumb choice, and it almost got him erased from history. Well, Marty should have let him die and have his comeuppance.
They both should be dead.
I'm going with Einstein. That's what I
want. Oh, look at this. We got two Martys. We got two Docs. I'm going to say Marty. Of course, Rob says Doc. Doc was in Taxi. Doc was in
Taxi. And Star Trek 3.
Oh, he's great in Star Trek 3, man.
But then you've got Alex P. Keaton... You've got Doc Hollywood. You've got The Hard Way with Michael J. Fox.
This literally, hang on. This wasn't the actors. This was literally the character Doc or Marty.
Yeah.
If you want to go Michael J. Fox or Christopher Lloyd, we can do that. If you want to extend the question, feel free.
No. I'm going get rid of Marty McFly because Doc would corrupt some other high school youth that was probably more interesting than Marty McFly and still have adventures in time that get beyond his grasp. I just love the character concept of an inventor who's a failure and just blowing away his entire family fortune, chasing down an invention. And the one invention that he comes up with basically, you know, costs him his life, almost erases his best friend, and like could basically destroy the world, you know, and then he has to figure out whether to let it go or not. It's a great character conundrum.
Where Marty's and I just, love the idea of a little smart mouth who gets up and plays electric guitar at 10 before he goes to school.
But isn't that just your life?
No, just yeah. destroys the lab and does the coolest at the time, coolest skateboarding stuff ever, like grabbing onto the Jeep. It's like, you can really do that with your skateboard, man. You mean I can grab someone's car and they're going to pull me all around the city? Like, Marty was so freaking awesome. And his taste in music is, I mean, Huey Lewis, come on. It doesn't get any better than that. It just doesn't.
Well, I mean, you want to talk about coolest of cool. I mean, Doc built a time machine out of a DeLorean. I mean, the way he figured it, might as well do it with a little bit of style.
Okay, so we're split on that one. Everyone in the chat, let's see here. What we got? It's,
got Marty, Marty. Get rid of Marty. No time machine without Doc. Marty, Marty, Marty. See you, Marty.
Get rid of Marty. Okay.
The parts.
Marty.
Doc.
Yeah, Marty. Yeah, out of here, kid.
Teen Wolf. Teen Wolf swayed me back to the multiverse.
Now,
you got any more?
Is, of course I do. As soon as I think I have you figured out, you throw in a curveball. So I'm actually not going to say a single word here because I want to know what you say. Okay. The entire catalog and workings of Harrison Ford or Mark Hamill.
Oh, well, get rid of Mark Hamill then. And that's fine that Batman the Animated Series doesn't have Joker. It's fine that he's not Luke Skywalker because I still get Indiana Jones and Han Solo and Witness and The Fugitive and all the other awesome.
Don't worry, Scott Bakula will be Luke Skywalker in this alternate reality.
Then it's an upgrade across the board. He's also in Corvette Summer and The People Under the Stairs or whatever it was. Love it. Easy.
What?
Easy.
What are the stairs?
Wasn't Mark Hamill in that movie?
No.
Are you sure about that?
Like, I think it was like The Village or something.
Oh, he was in Bad Ronald. He was in The Wall.
Has anybody out there seen the movie Bad Ronald? Oh my God. It's the
story of my life.
Ridiculous. Okay, I have a bunch more, but it looks like we're closing in on the time here. So I'm just going to throw out one big one and kind of one small one. This is a filmmaker one. Because okay. I'm really interested to see who Rob would pick here. If you could only choose the entire catalog and work of Stanley Kubrick or Martin Scorsese, who would you pick?
Yeah, oh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one, Jay. How do you answer that question?
Everyone in chat, Stanley Kubrick or Martin Scorsese, who would you guys
Stanley Kubal or Martin Scorsese?
Or Marty S. Marty C.
Martin. You know, I love Clockwork Orange. I love The Shining. I love Eyes Wide Shut.
You did a bad, bad thing.
Bad, bad thing.
Best soundtrack ever.
Eyes Wide Shut. And I watch those films every year. But to give up Goodfellas, Casino, The Wolf of Wall Street, The Departed. Which is probably my favorite Scorsese film.
Microprocessors.
And I also think about all the stuff that Scorsese produces as well, where he's not necessarily involved as the director. So as iconic as those films are from Kubrick, you know, I got to go with the filmmaker. I'm never excited for a Scorsese film. I want to check it out. Like The Irishman, I'm good.
It sucks.
Yeah, I'm good. But he's got some undeniable classics in there. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to pass on Kubrick.
Okay.
Yeah, even with Doctor Strangelove and Barry Lyndon and Lolita.
I would keep Martin Scorsese hands down, even though I love Kubrick. Okay, the final question. This might be easy. This might not be easy, but I definitely, for the final time, everybody in chat has to answer this one because I know everyone will have an opinion. You keep, it might be a landslide, we'll see. You can keep Skeletor or you can keep Hordak. but you can't have both. Everyone in chat, let's hear your answers here. I know mine. I have no idea what Rob's thinking, but we're about to find out.
Well, where do you go with that? Let's kind of just talk it out and see where we go. You have Skeletor, the original dichotomy villain to He-Man. For as good as He-Man is and as strong as he is for the heroes, you have an equally evil nemesis that represents death, destruction, the absence of life. With Hordak, you've got the perfect fusion of technology and fantasy, which is more thematically tied into what Masters of the Universe is known for nowadays. You've got a much richer faction in the evil horde than, say, the evil warriors. So that's got to come into play, I think, on some level. And then, of course, the relationship between the two, where Hordak is Skeletor's teacher, apprentice, master situation. Who's more powerful? It's hard to say. I think Skeletor gets the best of Hordak anytime, for like 3 out of 5 times where they confront one another within the cartoon series, at least. I think it's just more pure to keep Skeletor. Because if you have He-Man basically versus Hordak, it doesn't feel as equal. It feels like a sidestep. And I think that was the downfall of She-Ra. And I think She-Ra is a better show than the He-Man cartoon from Filmation. The animation's better. The storylines are more sound and developed. There's more thematic subtext going on. But just to have that straight visceral dichotomy, which we see in like all the best fiction, right? You got Sherlock Holmes and Professor Moriarty. They're like two equals. It's just, who's going to make the first mistake that's going to basically result in the outcome? Hordak is kind of a weird outlier that is like extending the franchise. Like, oh, it's a bigger bad guy. There's always a bigger fish. And it's like, eh, it's cool. And I love the relationship. I love the Skeletor Hordak relationship. But if I have to pick one or the other, it's Skeletor hands down.
And that looks like what the chat says, except Bill. And Bill, I'm with you. I would keep Hordak. I find Hordak a more interesting character. I love Hordak's army much more. They're much more unified.
But we're just like, talking the character. We're just talking the one character.
Yeah, I would even say Hordak. I love the technology and the sorcery. That's something I really do like. And Skeletor has used that from time to time, but Hordak is all about that, including the Fright Zone is all technology.
Yeah, that play set for the Fright Zone is so good when you compare it to something like Snake Mountain. It's the best. I want that puppet. Give me the green sock. That's going to terrify He-Man. The green rubber.
So we have about 7 minutes left. Why don't we flip on over to Action Figure Spotlight, and I'm going to go first.
Whoa. We got to get to the big key art of the week. We got to talk this thing that everybody's talking about, every single Facebook group that I've seen, every single action figure debate that's out there right now. And that's the emergence of the Last Ronin. Jay, do you know what the Last Ronin is?
Something to do with Hawkeye? No.
Yeah. It's a new Ninja Turtle book, and it was the first comic book that came out last year that I'd been excited about for the last 20 years. It broke a crap ton of sales records, and it's set in the not too distant future where there's only one turtle left, and he's basically trying to avenge the death of his three brothers and Master Splinter. April has a daughter with Casey Jones. They're only, I think, on book 3 or 4 at this point.
Right.
It's a really great story. Kevin Eastman is involved in it. And I've been wondering since the book came out almost a year ago, are we going to get figures for the Last Ronin?
Oh, yeah.
And I won't spoil who the remaining turtle is for people, but it was the subject of debate for the longest time. Who's left? Who would they make the last turtle be? But they finally revealed figures. There had been some statues and some dioramas. And Playmates, the figure on the right, was announced early last week, and then NECA released their version, which is the version on the left. Playmates retails for $29.99, is to scale with the vintage figures, and NECA's retails for $37.99. So a little bit more, but of course, 6-inch scale versus the 5.5-inch figure of the turtle. What do you think, based on just these images, what's speaking to you more?
Well, first off, I think the first time hearing of this story, again, I don't really follow turtles too much, but it sounds like a really cool story. It sounds like a mature story.
It's so cool, man.
It's something I'd be on board with checking out. I like that idea. I don't like the comedic aspect of the turtles, which I understand is most of the turtles, but that's one reason I don't really follow them too much. Design wise, I would go with the Playmates one. The $29 price point seems about right. Not a huge fan of NECA stuff anymore after I've been burned a couple times by them and their hard plastics and all that. I just like the Playmate design. It looks like the original stuff, and I think it would go well with the other four.
Yeah, it's I should say there are two other versions of the figures coming out too. There's a shirtless one for NECA that comes out where you see the battle scars of the wounded turtle, and then there's a Mirage Comics black and white one of the Playmates release as well. I'm 100% with you. I am much more excited about the Playmates version, which I didn't think I would be, but there's just something more charming about it. And I don't know if it's just that it harkens back to those original figures, but the proportions feel off on the NECA one. I'm worried about wanting to get that out of the package and do any kind of pose, given all the layers of plastic that are on there and how tight they might be and how easily they might snap off. I just don't feel like the NECA one captures the spirit of what's going on in the comic, even though it might be technically a better sculpt. So for me, it's Playmates 100%. On ecollectibles.ca, you can guarantee the Mirage Chase version as well, which is the black and white one, which looks awesome. So I've got that secured. And on Big Bad Toy Store, I've secured the Playmates regular one as well. So I'm going to get both. I do have the NECA one pre-ordered, but I just don't want to deal with NECA anymore with all the price point issues and the fragileness of everything.
Yeah, I mean, like, if they were just statues, I'd be fine with it. And I think at this point, they should maybe just do that. It's just a shame because their sculpts are so nice. All the accessories they come with are great. They're plentiful. The paint job looks great until you touch them. I mean, I've had so much paint wear off my Marty figure, it's not even funny, not to mention the headphones breaking right out of the box and the guitar strap coming off. And yeah, I'm done with it, especially you're going to charge me 60 Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good, man.
Yeah, I just think I'll have more fun with the Playmates one, and that's honestly what it comes down to. So thanks for indulging that. Action Figure Spotlight, you want to go first?
I do. I don't have anything new, but I do want to showcase our this week's auction item because I have him right now. I'm going to do a little video with him tomorrow, possibly, but he's right out of the package. This is our guy here. This is pretty much one of the most mint Transformers I've ever had in my hands. It really actually feels like I just opened it out of the box. So whoever had this guy here definitely didn't play with him much because he's great. He even, dare I say, he even smells newish. Yes, I did smell him. Yes, I did. He's great, guys. And once again, this is just a part of Soundwave. There's no missiles here. Buzzsaw's not here, but you're going to get everything, including that gorgeous box art, Buzzsaw, the sticker sheet, completely unused, the instruction books, like they weren't even, you know, unfolded at all. I would even take that stuff and put it in a frame if you're a big Soundwave fan. But again, guys, right now the link is on Action Figure Adventure on Facebook. The link to my eBay page where this guy is currently up for bid right now. You can help Children's Health Foundation and get a piece of Action Figure Adventure.
Pretty awesome. My figure for this week, Jay, has come up in chat already, which is hilarious. And we've had some near rushes with talking about it earlier. So I thought that was really interesting how organically it's going to go that way. But while I have not purchased anything for myself in the last little while, I have had to make some purchases for season 2 cutaway stuff of Action Figure Adventure. So again, I get to feel like I own it for a while. And I don't know if these will be worth anything once I open them, but it'll be cool to play with them while I got them. And one of the figures that I'm in love with, which is my spotlight for the week, is none other than Scott Howard, the Mego Teen Wolf Hero. Now, I absolutely love this figure and everything about it. It's my very first Mego figure. I love the cloth goods clothing. I'm surprised that we got plastic sculpt hair and fur. If that was real, like Grizzlor, that would have been wicked. I love how kind of faded that picture is on the back. Like they took like a screenshot.
I love Marty Abrams' face on the back.
Yeah, too. He's always there.
I'm back, baby.
That's me. I'm Marty. But I absolutely love this. It kind of looks like you a little bit, which is also fun. The running joke is that you're a little bit like Teen Wolf. So for my very first, and I don't know why it says horror. I mean, I guess Teen Wolf is sort of a horror movie.
Well, let's see. It's that, you know,
the werewolf,
comedic. I don't think a werewolf is a fun thing. I think it's a very scary thing. So
it's but a pretty silly
horror movie. Yeah, I wouldn't. I think it's a horror comedy. There's been a few of those out there.
Yeah, it's I absolutely love it, though. The articulation looks on point, and I can't get over how good the soft goods are on this thing. Now, this is obviously a new Mego figure, not a classic one, but they're quite popular, 17 plus. So thank goodness I'm old enough to have this Dolly figure in my collection, and I can't wait to film it. It's going to be in the series, whether you like it or not, Jay. That's kind of the benefit of me being the keeper of the footage. Yeah. I get to decide what footage we keep.
Mego's done a lot over the last 3 years. They've pumped out a ton, and I mean a ton. They've revamped old series. They put out Planet of the Apes again. There's so much great superhero stuff. They're just killing it.
They're rivaling Reaction almost at this point with some of the sublines that they're coming out with, which is cool. But unlike Reaction, I love the size, the scale, and the articulation and the cloth goods on these. So for the same price, you can have something that I think might be a little bit better off. That'll do it for another show this week. Thanks for taking the hosting reins for the bulk of the show, my friend.
No problemo.
Where can people find you if they want to see more of your wacky hijinks and your hilarity and your in-depth, thorough expertise of action figure culture?
YouTube, and it's Jay Bartlett. That's what you search. And if you haven't subbed yet, please do, guys. Over the last month or so, my page has really started to, or sorry, my channel, I should say, has really started to take off, and I really feel it growing, and it's all thanks to you guys. But the subs really do help with the algorithm of YouTube, and when I put out a video, ironically, the more subs you have, the more YouTube cares about your content, the more they spit it out. So please, if you haven't subbed, if you enjoy the content, always give it a thumbs up. I do appreciate it. There's a ton of you that have reached out to me on different social medias. I'm not as active on social media anymore as I once was, mostly because I'm working so hard on YouTube. So I will try to get to all your comments, guys, but thank you for reaching out. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, and I've spent some time over the last week unlocking the vault, baby. So we have amassed quite a bit of footage over the last 10 years. And, you know, a lot of it has been restricted to Kickstarter backers, which are only a few hundred. So I thought, why not throw some of it up on the YouTube? So please subscribe to this channel on YouTube. I know that 78% of you are not subscribed, so help me out with a sub, and then you'll get notified when we populate the channel with unseen Nintendo Quest footage, rarely seen stuff from action figure adventure, and more. Right now I have content programmed through mid-July to come out every week for action figure adventure and through the end of March for Nintendo Quest, but that will be going up much more. My hope is that I can showcase the real Nintendo Quest chapter by chapter, almost store by store, so you can see what it's like for Jay, almost in the moment, to see what he deals with through that.
That's really cool. Yeah, there's so much footage, just hours and hours and hours that we shot, that unfortunately, when you're working with a TV schedule or theatrical release, you have to cut it back, right? So there's so much stuff didn't get shown, and it's going to be really cool for me. I haven't seen this stuff since I was there, so I can't wait to see all that. So check out Rob McCallum's channel and sub.
There we go. and do the sub, like and sub. So thanks everybody for watching. We end every episode moderately the same way when I don't screw it up. For the love of toys and the warmth of scarves, Jay, take care of yourselves
and each other.
Because the best time of day, Mr. Jay, is what?
Is going outside or going inside playtime. Fun time.
I love that shot of you walking out on location scout. You look like such an old man, grouchy, why am I dealing with winter shot?
I don't know why I fell. I don't know why I kept that in there. But if you notice, the same time I fall, Liam squats down to crap. Almost the exact moment I hit the ground. I did notice that.
That was the highlight.
I had to keep it in, man, because my dog, he's the best.
Yeah, totally. Cool. We'll see everybody next week. Cheers.